Hello, and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library Podcast. As always, thank you for coming by. I do appreciate it, each and every one of you, and there are more of you this week than ever. I was over on Facebook, and I noticed that we have finally reached over 100 fans. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, there's more than 100 of you. Right now, the page I'm looking at says 109. 109, well done. Did you know that is one more fan than there are sins in traditional Buddhist culture? Yes, that is right. I bet you didn't know that. Sit back and just drink that in. Every New Year's in Japan, temples will ring the temple bells 108 times for the 108 sins of man. I can't list them all off the top of my head, but there's 109 fans, so even if everyone had a sin, there'd still be one left over. So, who's the lucky one? But I have to say, I am happy to see that number go up. It does make me very happy. If you would like to make me happy, come on over and join in. I'm trying to be a little bit more active on the fan page, talk a little bit more instead of just telling you what I'm reading at the moment. One of the things I did earlier this week is I found the Kindle copy of the book A Patriot's History of the United States, and I got the free sample, love the free samples, and started reading it. Now, I had just read Howard Zinn's book, The People's History. I wanted to see A Patriot's History, and whoa, this is... Wow, it's very America first rhetoric. I wanted to get my Team America World Police soundtrack and just play it on repeat. I think you know the song if you've seen the movie. But I had a good time sort of live reviewing it over on the Facebook page and just writing down whatever came to mind as I read it. So these kinds of things are happening all the time. Of course, I'm over on Twitter at LabLib, and I try to jump in as well as best I can. So it is great to have everybody. Let's have more, and soon I will have an army at my command to raise the earth and to salt its cities where they don't have public library systems. I don't know where I was going with that, but I assure you it would be truly, truly terrible. So, oh, also this week, a couple of birthdays. We've got Warren Ellis, it's his birthday this week, so say happy birthday to Warren. I'm reading right now his book, Crooked Little Vein, and I'm not finished yet, but I can tell you that it is really funny and very good so far. So go buy that one. Highly recommend that one. It is also this week, I think the same day, actually, the 16th, LeVar Burton's birthday. Now, you may know LeVar Burton from Star Trek The Next Generation, where he played Geordi LaForge, the engineer, but he also did a show called Reading Rainbow, which was a little bit after my time, but it was a show that ran for many, many years, encouraging kids to read. So as far as I'm concerned, LeVar Burton is one of my fellow reading evangelists, and I wish him a very, very happy birthday. I know Mr. Burton and Mr. Ellis must be listening to this podcast. Why wouldn't they be listening to this podcast? You listen to the podcast? So, happy birthday to both of you. There we go. Anyway, our topic today has nothing to do with birthdays, of course. I left you the clue last week that this week's book has something to do with the afterlife and what happens when you die. Yes, it's a very good question. It's a question that has plagued us for millennia. And I got a correct answer from Millie over in Troy. Hello, Millie. Thank you very much for joining us. And she said it is Sum by David Eagleman, and she is correct. So congratulations, Millie. Your package of eternal gratitude is on its way. Yes, this is Sum, 40 Tales from the Afterlives by David Eagleman. So, like I said, what happens after we die? I'll wait. If you have an idea, you'd like to chime in, go ahead. No? Okay, no problem. Is it a heaven full of clouds and harps and angels? Is it a hell full of fire and brimstone and horrible torture? Do you get to come back again and live a new life, perhaps building on the mistakes of your previous one? Yeah, I guess it's all well and good. I mean, the classics never go out of style, right? Perhaps some of the pearly gates with Morgan Freeman hanging out nearby, or maybe a place of endless torment where David Warner is ready to turn you into a cockroach or a giant fuzzy dog. Yeah, there are variations on an old and well-worn theme. But how about an afterlife, right, where you get to live with every possible version of yourself? You know, the many worlds theory of the universe, right? For every choice you make, a new universe is born. And in that universe, there lives a different you. Perhaps one who made better choices. Maybe perhaps one who made worse choices. Well, after you die, you get to go hang out with all of them. including, unfortunately, all of the yous who made much, much better decisions than you did. Or maybe you get the afterlife where you relive your entire life, but with all moments of the same quality grouped together, right? So that means you get to spend 30 years sleeping, or 200 days taking a shower. That doesn't sound too bad, really. Except for the 18 months you spend waiting in line, or the 5 months you spend on the toilet, or the 27 hours of intense pain. Or maybe you discover there is no afterlife for us, just like there's no afterlife for a computer chip, right? We've all been components in a great computer, wherein every nod of your head, every word, every blink is merely a signal sent to other processing units, also known as people. Of course, the programmers don't know why we've thrived as we have. They didn't make us to be sentient. They're just mice. What do they know? And they still don't realize that it's happened even, but our world is the greatest of all the computer worlds they've built. There are 40 afterlives in this book. They're all described in 2 or 3 pages. It's very, very short. Each one is an attempt to break free of the traditional sense of what the afterlife should be, and it shows a great deal of creativity. And what's fun is reading this and understanding that any one of those could be true, just as true as the traditional heavens and hells we've been building for the last few millennia. I mean, after all, why couldn't we have an afterlife where we're given the opportunity to come back, but with one change of our own choosing? Or another where we get to choose the form of our next life, but we're betrayed by our inability then to remember why we'd chosen it. Now, just because they don't have the weight of a church's doctrine or thousands of years of philosophy, it doesn't make them wrong, right? Because after all, we don't know. We can't know. We may think we know or believe we know, but that doesn't really mean anything. I mean, I came up with my own afterlife scheme. It sounded pretty good to me, but does that make it true? No. The one big constraint that seems to apply to all afterlives is that no one ever gets to tell the living how it worked out. Why this should be is unknown to me, but that just puts me in league with every philosopher who ever lived. You know, not bad company, if you ask me. But since all afterlives could be true, it can be argued, of course, that none of them are. And if you can't know what will happen to your soul after death and how to ensure that your eternity is a pleasant one, then perhaps you should stop worrying about it. The nature and the requirements of your afterlife are probably totally out of your control. Of course, that cannot be said for your life, right? That's something that you have knowledge of, something you have control over. So appreciate that little fact and, you know, go do something with it. Go ahead. Entertain speculation about life after death. Let your imagination go wild, but don't for a moment think that you know what'll come when you breathe your last, because it probably won't be anything you ever expected. Or maybe it will. I don't know. Who am I to say? I'm just a guy. I'm just a book reviewer. What do I know about the afterlife? In any case, this is a fun little, and I do mean little, book that's suitable for reading in one sitting, or you can do it in 40 tiny bites of time. And who knows? Maybe it will spur you on to thoughts of your own afterlife. And if you have one, I would love to hear it. So, let me give you a quote from the book, as always, and it is this. Among all the creatures of creation, the gods favor us. We are the only ones who can empathize with their problems. That was David Eagleman from Sum. And it really is a fun exploration of why were we created, why does life exist, along with, of course, what happens to us afterwards. So I recommend it. And yeah, if you have your own version of the afterlife, could be serious, could be funny, I don't care, go to the Facebook page, and I'm going to put up a discussion saying what happens after you die. I would like you to post it in that discussion forum. See how many different ones we can come up with. See if we can come up with more than 40. That's my goal. Come up with more than 40 different afterlives. Yeah, we'll publish our own book. Technically, kind of intellectual plagiarism, but it's the 21st century. Who cares? So, that's what I'd like you to do. Tell me what your afterlife probably looks like. All right. And I think that is it. The boyfriend's out walking the dog, and he's just sent me a little note that said he's on his way back. Very, very considerate of him, I think. So, let me sign off, and thank you, of course, for coming. Next week is the last Thursday of the month, which means it is Dresden Week. That's right. And we are looking at Proven Guilty by Jim Butcher, of course, the author of the Dresden Files. And your trivia question for next week: name three movie references that are made in the book Proven Guilty. There's lots of them, so you'll have plenty to choose from. But name three movie references that are made in that book, and you will win a fresh ocean breeze going through your living room. Don't ask me how I can arrange that. I have powers the likes of which you people don't even know. All right. What did you put in this coffee? Anyway, thanks, as always, for coming by and hanging out with me and talking books. So I greatly appreciate it. I will see you, of course, next week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelabyrinthlibrary.blogspot.com, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you'd like to recommend, I'd be happy to hear it. If you would like to send me some email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes or become a fan on Facebook. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week, and until then, keep reading.